crawling behind the gate. The gate swings into the stretch, and here they come. They're horsing around.
Welcome to Horsing Around. The Ohio Sired Stakes season kicked off at the Miami Valley Raceway Monday, April 5th, with a pair of $15,000 James Hackett Memorial Eliminations, determining nine sophomore pacing filly finalists that will compete next week for the $40,000 championship purse. And then on the 6th, the Ohio Sired Stakes Trotting Colts had their two $15,000 eliminations to determine who out of them will be in the James Hackett Memorial, kicking off the Buckeye Stakes season. So joining Kelly Bell and I to talk about all of this is the race secretary for Miami Valley Raceway and the Dayton Raceway, Greg Keitel. Hey, Greg, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
A lot of stuff going on this week at Miami Valley, huh?
Yeah, it's the kickoff to the Ohio Stakes season, the James K. Hackett Memorials. We have divisions for all four of the three-year-olds, Colt Trotters, Philly Trotters, and Colt and Philly Pacers. So we're in the middle of it now. We've already had the Philly Trot and the Colt Trot eliminations. There were only nine entered for the Philly Pace, so there was not necessary to have eliminations tomorrow night. They'll all nine advance to the $40,000 final a week from tomorrow. But we did get two divisions of Colt Pacers for Saturday night eliminations for their division.
So let's back it up a little bit real quick. Who was James Hackett?
James K. Hackett was a very prominent trainer that grew up and trained about 10 miles from where Miami Valley Raceway now sits. Used to train for the Huttenbauer Stable of Cincinnati, which was a powerful force in the 60s and 70s. He won some Little Brown Jugs and a number of other Grand Circuit races, and is in the Ohio Harness Racing Hall of Fame.
Yes, I knew that Mr. Hackett was a winner of the Little Brown Jug. Was he a driver at the time, or was he a winner as an owner-trainer? I don't know that about his history.
He was a driver-trainer.
Okay.
I'm not sure how much of any or if any of his horses he owned. It was a little bit before my time, even though I'm 73 years old now. But he was a driver-trainer for sure.
And, you know, another bit of trivia that I know all the Jug fans will be truly excited about. They're probably listening going, hey, don't forget. He married Curly Smart's daughter. And Curly Smart, you know, is Jug legend, right? So.
Absolutely. Yeah, Curly and his family grew up in Delaware, Ohio, about 2 hours from Miami Valley. But yes, that's true. Mr. Hackett married his daughter.
Well, there you have it. It's Jug history, and just goes to prove that the Little Brown Jug is a family reunion.
Brings people together.
Everybody here in the Buckeye State thinks that the Jug is the crown jewel of harness racing and the number one event in the sport on the third Thursday thinks? Every September.
It absolutely is.
Well, we would all agree here in Ohio. You know, I think the people that started the Hamiltonian and the Meadowlands Pace and a few others might want to argue, but here in Ohio, there would be no argument. The Jug is everything.
The Jug is everything. So do the fans at Miami Valley and Dayton get really excited about the Jug too?
Oh yeah. I think everybody in Ohio, including all four harness tracks, get excited about the Jug. So much so that even though we're a year around racing circuit at our four pair of mutual tracks, we take three of the four, the ones in the southern half of the state, take that week off in deference to Little Brown Jug Week.
Nice.
That's a good policy. I approve.
Yeah. Greg, so what got you involved in racing?
In my 20s, I was actually a newspaper publisher. I started about a half a dozen community weekly newspapers. And then the Daily decided to buy me out right as I was turning 30 years old. And I'd been a harness fan all along, just going to the races once or twice a month. to have dinner with my wife and so on. And so when we made that sale of the publishing company, we had a little tax problem for a year. And I said, it's as good a time as any to try ownership, because if we mess this up, the government will pay half of it. So we bought two horses. And as luck would have it, we did quite well with those horses. And our stable grew to a maximum of 22 horses at one time. And I got real interested in how, in first jogging and then training and then driving my own horses. And I was a professional driver for 3 years, from 83 to 85. And then I got an offer from the late Dick Wilson, who was general manager at Northfield Park at the time, to come into management. He knew I had a college degree in marketing and they needed some help with public relations. And so I decided to do that. And within a month, sold all the horses in the stable and went into the management side of the business. And 2 years later, became the director of racing at Northfield and stayed there 30 years. Semi-retired briefly, and was just the race secretary in the summer months at Running Aces. And then got an offer when these two brand new tracks were emerging in the Dayton area and Cincinnati area to come back home. And so I did. And I've been here for 7 or 8 years now running these two tracks.
Well, Greg, I have to say you are another shining example of how Ohio creates jobs through the equine industry. And it sounds like not just a job, but a passion. Can you tell us what the experience is like being in management and doing this kind of work? What, for anybody that might be thinking about getting a career in equine, tell us what your day-to-day life is like at work.
Well, I know it's a cliche, but in my case, I really mean it. I don't feel like I've ever gone to work a day in my life since I got into harness racing. It is a passion and I love it. It's a challenge. At times it's long, long hours. There's something new that occurs practically every day. When you think you know it all, you're going to find out within a day that you don't know it all. And there's still more to learn. But because I've been involved in every area of it, ownership, training, driving, and now management for the longest amount of time, it's just been a wonderful experience, and I'm totally immersed in it. As I mentioned earlier, I'm 73 years old, but still going strong and still enjoying going to work every day.
You got rid of your horses. You're now totally surrounded by horses every day that you go into, not work, to the passion. We need a new word instead of work.
Right. Exactly. You know, I put the races together, you know, about 3 or 4 days in advance. That's what I do in the mornings. And then in the afternoon, I'm lucky enough to go out into our 140 horse paddock. We're a ship-in, strictly a ship-in facility. So we house all 14 races under the same roof. And I get to go up and down the aisles and visit with all the trainers and drivers and find out what I could do better and get suggestions and impart to them the reasons that I do what I do. And I definitely still love it.
What's the biggest thing that you find that they're concerned about?
Well, because the race secretary writes the conditions, and they believe that it has a whole lot to do with their livelihood. After all, they're all competing for the same paycheck. You know, the purse account is finite, and it's just a matter of who gets how big a percentage of it. And so they think I have a little more power with as to their earnings ability than I really do, because I don't change the conditions often at all. And when I do, it's not for the favorite or the second choice in the race. If I'm doing it properly, which I think I do 99% of the time. And but the money's gotten so good in Ohio that the criticism, if you want to call it that, has lessened considerably over the years. There's enough in Ohio now to go around, make everybody happy.
Well, it is amazing that the industry is getting so healthy. I can remember going to the track with my grandmother when I was a kid, and it was just wildly popular. And then it kind of, you know, had a downturn for a while, but it's coming back and it's coming back strong. And I think we're going to see a huge new fan base. Once people rediscover harness racing and the millennial crowd gets involved, they realize that it's so much fun. And you get such a bang for your buck for a night out having a good time that it's just really a fantastic form of entertainment.
Yeah, I agree with you. As I mentioned, that's how I got involved. I just went to dinner, and to me, it was better than going to a movie or going to a restaurant. And, you know, I had a limited, you know, at that time I was a $2 better, and where could you get a better value than that?
Absolutely.
But as you mentioned, the crowds dwindled over the years, and that was the only disappointing part about my job, you know, because at Northfield, in my early days as director of racing, we built it up to where, you know, you paid to get in those days, you paid to park, you had to buy a program, and yet many nights we were sold out on a 1,400 seat clubhouse, and the grandstand was packed. Well, that went down to just a few hundred people most nights as the purses dwindled and surrounding states got the slot machines sooner than we did. But since the day the VLT started in operation here in Ohio, things have gotten so much better and come back quickly and surpassed the old days, with the exception of the size of the crowds. And I attribute that to the fact that technology now allows people to sit on their couch and watch the races on television and bet on their cell phones. But we'd love to get them back to the track.
I think that is true to an extent. I do think that this year is going to be a real increase. Everybody missed going to their county fairs last year and going to the casinos and getting outside and being in groups. And, you know, when I went to Cider Downs last fall, even though we were in the pandemic, I was able to be outdoors, enjoy the races, visit with my family members, and stay socially distanced outside in the fresh air. When people are looking for activities as we open back up again, yeah, this is the perfect form of recreation.
We got to just get more people to agree with us. But on Saturday nights at Miami Valley, we're pretty packed. I mean, it's nearly impossible for people to socially distance 6 feet apart because, you know, we have a couple thousand people in a large grandstand. But, you know, that the crowd has come back on Saturday nights and to a degree on Friday nights.
It's good news. Glad to hear it.
Well, Greg, let's take a break here. And when we come back, I want to talk about specifically the Phillies and how they qualified and who you saw that you thought was, you know, rising to the top. And then we'll talk about the Colts.
Okay.
It's mud season. Are you looking for a fix in a muddy situation? Cashman's has you covered, offering innovative mud control solutions. We are also your number one source for the best deals on rubber mats for multi-use flooring, perfect for horse stalls, garages, and gyms. Cashman's Horse Equipment has been serving the equine community for over 40 years. Come and visit our location in Delaware, Ohio, and shop over 10 acres of equine farm and livestock supplies. Shop online anytime at cashmans.com.
Be sure to catch the new podcast, The Top of the Stretch, presented by the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. The podcast keeps fans of racing in the Buckeye State up to date on various topics concerning the sport of harness racing. The news and views of top officials, owners, trainers, drivers, and breeders in Ohio. That's the all-new podcast, Top of the Stretch, on the Facebook page of the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. Be there!
Looking for that special gift for the horse lover in your life? Bow River Jewelry provides custom-made designs using state-of-the-art equipment, hand finishing, and quality stones to ensure your jewelry reflects that love of horses. Bow River Jewelry creates 14-karat gold rings, bracelets, and watches that uniquely exemplify the mutual love between horses and humans. Contact them at bowriverjewelry.com to see the variety of horse-inspired jewelry available or call 888-860-7483 with custom inquiries.
Welcome back to Horsing Around. I'm Michelle Gatchel, and I'm here with my partner, Kelly Bell, and we are having fun talking to Greg Keitel, who is the race secretary for Miami Valley Raceway, as well as the Dayton Raceway, and we're talking about the three-year-old Philly Trotter James Hackett Memorial Eliminations, as well as the Colt Trotter James Hackett Memorial Eliminations. And Greg, you know, how did they stack up this week?
Well, on Monday, the Philly Trotters went to the gate in two divisions. Here in Ohio, we have a somewhat unique situation where a trainer named Chris Beaver, who some call the guru of Ohio trotting, he had five horses in the three-year-old Philly Trot, and there was only two divisions, so he had multiple entries in both, and he won both races. So obviously those two horses advanced to next Monday's $40,000 final, in addition to one of his other three. So he'll have three in the final next Monday. The first division winner was Katie's Lucky Day, who was driven by Trevor Smith. And the second division winner was a filly called Ozma, who was driven by the leading driver in the sport in terms of wins, Aaron Merriman. Times were quite close. They were one division went in 156 and one, the other in 156 and two. So we're looking for a very contentious $40,000 final on Monday afternoon.
Gosh, sounds like it. So with the Trotters, I was reading up because I admit that I don't know what a good time is, so to speak. But I saw that just like for a half mile, 206 is a qualifying and above time. So they did really well.
Yeah, our track is lightning fast here. It's a 5/8 mile track. Qualifying time for Trotters is 203, but it's rare that you ever see a trot go slower than 201. And when you're talking about paid in events like the Hackett or Sire Stakes or something, our three-year-old trotters have to go around 54 or 55 to get a big chunk of the money.
Nice.
One interesting fact about this three-year-old filly trot is, as I mentioned, Katie's Lucky Day won one of the divisions, mm-hmm. was purchased the next day by a family called the Luthers. He's been spending a lot of money in this sport in the last 3 months. The brother Todd Luther is the trainer and Greg Luther is the owner. He calls himself Black Magic Racing, but he purchased Katie's Lucky Day. Don't have any idea what the purchase price was, but I'm sure it was quite large. And she'll be racing for his stable in the final. Unfortunately, drew the 9-hole Katie's Lucky Day, so he's got a big mountain to overcome in his first start for the Luthers. Ozma won the other division, as I mentioned, and she drew the rail for the final with Aaron Merriman driving, so she'll likely be the favorite. Another horse in that race that'll get a lot of consideration is Swizzle Hanover, who's made three starts so far in her sophomore campaign. She races for a trainer named Randy Bendis from the Meadows, and Mike Wilder comes over to drive her, and she finished a very close second in the eliminations, and she drew a decent post for the final, so she'll be another one to consider.
I was curious about Katie's Lucky Day. Was she in a claiming race, or was this just a private sale?
No, it was a private sale the next morning.
Okay.
Wow. And the Luthers, what was their farm called? Black what?
Oh, Black Magic Racing.
Black Magic.
They've bought some. They have spent close to $3 million in the last 3 or 4 months on racehorses. He's trying to become a major player on the Grand Circuit.
Well, if Mr. Luther is listening to the show, we'd like to invite him on as a guest.
Yeah, for sure. Is he from Ohio?
Yes, he is. Yep.
Let's take a break here. And when we come back, we'll talk about other races that we have to look forward to this season.
Okay.
Looking for your next quality standard bred racehorse? Look no further than Sugar Valley Farm in Delaware, Ohio. Sugar Valley Farm offers stud services anywhere in the world, providing the best stallions available at any price point. With a stallion roster full of names like Well Said, Lather Up, Mr. Wiggles, and Down by the Seaside, winning must be in the water. For more info, call 1-740-363-5618. That's 1-740-363-5618 for Sugar Valley Farm.
With more than 300,000 horses in Ohio, the economic impact of the equine industry in the state is over $1.4 billion. Much of that value comes from standardbred horse owners, breeders, trainers, and drivers who participate in the sport of harness racing. The mission of the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association is to preserve, protect, promote, and serve the entire standardbred industry in Ohio and beyond. To learn more about the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association, go to OHHA.com.
And we are back. I'm Kelly Bell with my partner, Michelle Gatchel. We are talking to Greg Keitel, race secretary at Miami Valley and Dayton Raceway. And folks, if you want to have some fun, if you want to get out, there are some big races coming up, I believe, this Saturday night. Greg, can you tell us what the folks can look forward to if they come out to the track?
Yeah, Saturday night we always have our best racing card of the week. We'll have two open paces that feature. Actually, at one point we had seven of the top 10 earning horses in North America. We're competing in our open here, and there's still about four or five of them on that list. But in addition to that, this Saturday night we'll have the addition of the 3-year-old colt pace, the glamour division of the Hackett Eliminations. And it features the second division. It's a 7-horse field. The two of the horses in there, one called Charlie May, the other called Heart of Chewbacca, are among the top 10 rated horses, 3-year-old colts coming back to, you know, after fantastic 2-year-old seasons in North America. And they'll probably both be aimed at the Little Brown Jug, which we spoke about earlier, because that's everybody's wish to win the Little Brown Jug if they're from Ohio or surrounding states. So actually, Heart of Chewbacca has been made the 8-5 morning line favorite. He's trained by Ronnie Burke, the leading trainer in North America for many, many years. And he's driven by Dan Noble, who's Christy Ray stabled, which is Dan and his wife, Christy Ray, own a part of Heart of Chewbacca. Charlie May, on the other hand, is 9-5 morning line. He's driven by Brett Miller and trained by Steve Carter. These horses finished 1-2 in the $300,000 final of the Ohio Sire Stakes last year, which was held at Scioto Downs. Charlie May was the winner. Heart of Chewbacca right there with him at the finish. So they were 1-2. Both horses won over $200,000. I believe that I think Charlie May might have made over $300,000 racing strictly here in Ohio last year.
Nice. Folks, you've got to pay attention because these are the finest trotting and pacing racehorses in the world that we have here in Ohio. The racing is so exciting. If you've never gotten out to the track and tried it, take your family and give it a shot. This is really amazing stuff.
And Greg, to go for those listening, because we have a lot of listeners that are learning, what's the difference between trotting and pacing?
Well, the pacer's cadence is the right legs move together and the left legs move together. And most of them wear what's called hopples to make sure that they stay on that gait. In other words, it's like a locomotive, an old fashioned one where the two right legs are moving forward at the same time. And then the left legs. A trotter is called a square gaiter, and it's just the opposite. Their two right feet are coming together as they make a stride or going apart. But like when the right feet are coming together, the left feet are moving apart. And they don't have any straps around their legs, although a few do now, called trotting hobbles. That's kind of a new phenomenon. They don't go around both legs. They just go around one, just the front legs, to try them. It's a little more difficult when you're breaking horses and you're racing them as juveniles to keep a trotter on his gait than it is a pacer. And I would say that there's about 75 to 80% of the races are paces and about 20% are trots. Pacers go faster, usually around 2 seconds faster.
Well, that completes this episode of Horsin' Around. We had a great time with Greg. We talked to him a little more, so we're going to put that on next week's show. He's going to talk to us about what it means if the horse gets out of their gate and what they have to do during a race. And then he talks to us about the great pool of drivers that are from the Miami area. So join us next week
for more of Greg Keitel.